Regardless of all this, although some people could not at all, did not surrender, you know, because they believed so much in their own political standpoints and stances. So they started writing poetry which was even against the political system. And one of these people is Abd al-Latif al-Labi. He was imprisoned for 10 years and then he was sent out of the country as a refugee in Paris. And he stayed there for his whole life, writing against the political system there. And he was one of the people who started this, I think, he started a kind of countercultural movement as well. So he wrote a collection of poems which were widely circulated in Arab world. And he started, before he moved to Paris, he started a very famous journal or magazine called Anfas Soufl, breath, which in fact it is a metaphor for a new breath, you know, in Moroccan society, in Moroccan culture scene and so on. But it was aborted, 2 years when he started this, and he was sent to France, you know. So he was one of the people who started to write about this period from the other side. And then late in 1958, there was a group of people, of course the Beats, they came to visit Morocco. So this is one way to look at Abd al-Latif al-Labi's writings. He was the first to adopt these ideas and try to incorporate them in his own writings. The official visit of the Beats to Morocco was in 1958. And I think On the Road was published in 1957. And the first reading of the Beats, the sixth gallery reading, was in 1955. So that was a big success for them. So they took that ship from New York to Czechoslovakia, and then from there to maybe Spain, and then they crossed to Tangier. So this was a moment, special moment, in their own life. But it has no resonance in Moroccan cultural scene. Because the Beats, they came there basically for what all of you, I think you all know, they came for hashish and, homosexuality. So they chased, like Burroughs, he chased the boys in the old lanes of Tangier. And Ginsberg was looking for the boys somewhere along the beach while Orlovsky was having his bathing or whatever. So anyways... So Burroughs, Allen Ginsberg, Jack Kerouac, Gregory Corso, they have been invited by Paul Bowles, who was already there. I think maybe he was living there for 5 years earlier. So he invited them and they came to visit him and they started this epic adventure, kind of traveling all the way from Tangier. They went to visit different like tribes. And they became acquainted with the Jujuka music, where Brian Jones, who played with Jujuka musicians. So Paul Bowles took them to meet Jujuka musicians in the Reef Mountains. And they started this epic trip, along the Atlantic Ocean. And they stopped in the village where, 20 minutes from where I work, it's called Tarazout. It's a Berber name, which means there is the sea which comes in, and then you have rocks, so it goes into, so because it's on the Atlantic Ocean. So they stopped in Tarazout and they wrote some of their own works there. I think if you read Kerouac's The Lonesome Traveler, part of it is about his own trip to the south of Morocco, and you will find him, you will see that he's talking about the Fillahin. Al-Fallahin, the agriculturers, people who are interested in, doing basic things, farming and so on. They had so much what they were craving, hashish, homosexuality, sex and so on, free sex in Morocco, it's fine. Okay, you can do whatever you want, just don't get involved with politicians and so. So they had to... Do whatever you want, what time you want, rent your place, sleep with anyone, so just don't mingle with politics. So, they stopped in this village, and I think they left their own kind of footprint a trace there, because this village is still just as hippie as it was back in the late 50s.
What village is that?
It's Taghazout. T-A-J-H-O-U-T. Taghazout. And you have people coming for, basically for surf. They rent apartments. French, Germans, Arabs, whatever. They get together, they meet, they eat, they surf, and there is also free sex. So there's so much going on there. And the state, they know about this, but nobody is trying to put an end to it. So they just wanted to leave it as it is. And they organize everything. Now they're building big things there along the Atlantic Ocean, and they want to keep it as it is. That's why I'm thinking of Morocco as a country which has been countercultural before even this provisional, occasional, in so many ways, visit of the beats. We had all the things that the beats were searching for. And I don't think that they influenced our own literature. So the next point will be Mohamed Choukri's famous book, For Bread Alone. So Paul, the beats, they were staying with Paul Bowles and his wife Jane. She was just there. Paul Bowles was a homosexual, so his wife was just there, meeting other men, maybe sleeping with his own servant, Mohamed Mrabt and other people. Mohamed Mrabt was in my own, we organized an international colloquium last April, and Mohamed Mrabt was invited to speak about his own, he's 75 years old, and he was invited to speak about his own experience as the servant of Paul Bowles, someone who worked in his place. And so he was there, and Anne Waldman, of course, was also there. She's the one who started, you know, Jack Kerouac's School of Disembodied Poetics, which I attended in Boulder. So she was there, and there was John Giorno, who started Dial-Up a Poem, the guy you can call from Seattle, and then he plays the poem for you. You can hear Ginsberg or whatever, you know, Burroughs or someone reading his own poem. So there was Anne Waldman, John Giorno, Mohamed Mrabt, and the translator of Paul Bowles into French, Madame Thomas, so Thomas. So she was there also, and it was a great opportunity to listen to them talk about that part of history. Plus, there was also the Moroccan guy who worked for Paul Bowles, like, what do you call that in American English? Courier? Someone who carries the letters from the post office to the house and then back and forth. So his name is Zubir bin Bushta, and he was there. So all these people gave their own historical memorial, you know, life chronicles, you know, of what happened basically at that time. So Mrabt, he calls all the beats ils sont des malades. They have maladies, you know, they have, you know, sickness, they are sick people. He said, I don't like Ginsberg because he behaves like a woman, but Burroughs is more a sick kind of a mental, you know, guy. So he said, Burroughs is a crazy guy, but Ginsberg, he behaved like a woman. I don't like, you know, people behave like women. So anyways, so we had the opportunity to talk about this part of the history, and I asked Mrabt about everything, and he said that at that time, we were not interested in officially trying to adopt any countercultural movements because the king and all his own people, they wanted to establish, to build the country. And we were more interested in nationalist, you know, projects, programs. So this is also something I learned from them. And I already invoked this idea in my mind, and I think it was true. So yes, I was talking about, so the beats, Paul Bowles, Jane, Mrabt was a servant there, and then the beats came at that time. So the beats met Mohamed Choukri and Mohamed Mrabt in Paul Bowles' place. So now I'm trying to look who influenced the other. Is it the Moroccan writers, like Mohamed Mrabt, Mohamed Choukri, and other artists and musicians, or the other way? Is it the beats who influenced Mohamed Choukri and Mrabt and other people? And I think that Mrabt and Choukri, they already had these countercultural aesthetic sensibilities before they met the beat generation writers. Mrabt wrote He is a literate man. He started to learn how to write and study classical Arabic when he was 20 years old. He's from the reef, like Berber reef people. So he didn't know how to write or read. He started to learn all these things when he was 20 years old. But his own conditions, existential conditions, as a poor member of a family, of an Amazigh Berber family, he already started to think about the possible way to write something against the system. And his own existential conditions as a poor from the reef who is undermined because he's Berber pushed him to write this novel, which is well known now, I think, all over the world, For Bread Alone, which Paul Bowles translated into English. So I think I have also a copy of that, maybe.
I
used it at home. So anyways, Paul Bowles transcribed this novel from, because he doesn't speak classical Arabic, so he asked Mohamed Shukri to try to like translate it into the Moroccan daily dialect, a Darija, which is a colloquial version of classical Arabic. So that's how he managed to translate, you know, For Bread Alone from the Moroccan dialect into English. And the novel was censored for until 2000. It was only the censorship was only so it was we started to have it in our own local markets and libraries just in 2000. So it was censored since 1967, maybe, you know, late 60s, early 70s, and when it was first published in Arabic, the Mohamed Shukri wrote this very famous introduction, a kind of kalima, which means foreword, you know, to his own novel. And this is very much reminiscent of the beat countercultural spirit. This also inspired me so much to write another poem, which I wrote just 2 days ago here. So Mohamed Shukri, in his own introduction to For Bread Alone, translated by Paul Bowles, he reflects this deeply rooted Amazigh Berber countercultural aesthetic sensibility. And I think the introduction, this foreword from his own novel, which I'm going to read, you know, part of it, reflects all of this. So his Arabic edition of his novel For Bread Alone, he says, this is my translation, because it is not part of Paul Bowles, edition of the novel. No. So he says, good morning night owls, good morning early birds, good morning Tangiers embedded in a mercurial time. Here I am again, back from the other side, to explore through the streets and memories, through what I have written about my past present life, just like a somnambulist. Words, hallucinations, and scars that no words can heal. Where is my life in all this discursive weaving? Yet, the fragrance of evenings and nights crowded with fright and adventure excitement creeps inside me, reviving ashes of embers, rendering them tunic, transparent and captivating. I am waiting for the release of a form of literature that does not ruminate. I am waiting for the release of a form of literature. It's very poetic. He writes in a very kind of poetic language. I am waiting for the release of a form of literature that does not deceive. Say your word before you die. It will eventually find its path to people's mind or heart. The most important thing is that it will forcefully arouse a passion, a sadness, or a sleeping caprice. To set a red wasteland on fire. O night owls, O early birds, O optimistic and pessimistic people, O rebellious people, O adolescents, O wise men, do not forget that the game of time is stronger than us all. It's a fatal game We can only confront it with our actual living of the death that precedes our death, our mortification. To dance on the ropes of adventure, striving for life. I say, and these are, I think he's making allusion to some verses from the Quran in this part. He's a very kind of a liberal, progressive, you know, getting drunk all the time, you know, smoking the kif, which is, you know, not really a real hashish, but he smokes the kif in long, you know, what do you call that?
Spliffs.
Yeah, spliffs. So, yeah. So he says in that last, you know, forward to his novel, I say, he, and I think here I put he, H with in a big letter, because he's referring to the verses from the Quran in a very indirect way. I say, he brings the living from the dead. He brings the living from the stinky and decomposing. He brings the living from the stuffed and beat and beat. So he was playing on this. Beat in Arabic also means someone who is totally broken, exhausted, and so on. So he was referring to this without necessarily knowing what was going on at that time, because he doesn't speak English, he doesn't know what's going on, he didn't talk to Ginsberg like in a very elaborate way about his own projects, what he's doing there, Jack Kerouac, Orlovsky, and Gregory Corso. He brings the living from the stuffed and beat, he brings the living from starving stomachs, he brings the living from the marrow of those who live on bread alone. So this was the introduction, you know, when it was first released, you know, not in our world, in 2000 and the 2000s, he wrote this introduction, and he died in 2007. So this is his latest, like, version, the foreword.
Now, you have a poem that alludes to that, it lifts part of that, that you just wrote.
Yep, yeah.
Maybe you could read that and then open it up for questions.
Okay, sure, yeah, sure. I think I have that on, where is it? Here. I'm sorry if this is taking longer, maybe then.
Okay.
This is good.
So.
And you know, there are ties to India, the poets that Ginsberg met in India, mm-hmm. And the question there is, you know, I mean, from an American perspective, you know, we're all like, well, we influence them, yada yada, and yet Ginsberg comes back and he's chanting Hindu chants in Chicago, so there's obviously...
He was there on the beach with the students, mm-hmm. and chanting with the bells, mm-hmm. and everything, yeah.
And chanting at the Democratic National Convention.
Yeah, at that time it was a very kind of ominous, maybe, in so many ways, in all over the states, and he was the only one who went there, and he risked his life, and he invited all the students, and they went to the beach. Is it a beach or just a lake?
It's a lake,
okay. I always think of Chicago as having the, you know. Anyway, so this poem is called A Requiem for Tangier's Love Memories in Seattle. Good morning, encaged northwest night owls. Good morning, summertime early birds. Good morning, Tangier's narrow lanes embedded in the mercurial time. Here I am again, back from the other side to explore the remaining crevices through late evening overcrowded streets of Seattle, through what I scarcely remember about my past life, through what I weave unconsciously about my present life, just like a disposed passe-mur somnambulist. Passe-mur, okay, someone who goes through the wall. It's an allusion to a French novel, very famous, you know, I've read back in secondary school, 15 years, when I was 15 years. Wandering Baghdad's 1001 nights, nothing seems to come to my rescue, not even the phantasms of magpies I lift at Shambhala Mountain Center, not even late July robins I kissed in Altoona prairies. My only solace grows in words, hallucinations, and scars that no words can heal. How does my life unfold in this discursive Isfahan carpet that I weave? Alone, I embrace the fragrance of evenings up and down Seattle Hills. Adventure excitement creeps inside me with Eid al-Fitr memories. It revives ashes of southern embers, rendering them tunic, transparent, captivating, and gluing. I crave the release of a form that does not ruminate. I am waiting for the release of a girlish heart that does not deceive. When unexpectedly sun rays blaze over the tops of Mount Rainier, I shall say my word before you die. It will eventually find its path to another broken-hearted. What memories I have of you, my two-year Don Juan love, now that I pray in my dreams to Mount Rainier at dawn. It will arouse a passion, a sadness, or a sleeping caprice. It will set a red wasteland on fire. Oh, encaged northwest night owls. Oh, summertime early birds. Oh, optimistic and pessimistic wanderers. Oh, rebellious jazz players. Oh, adolescent American post-capitalist bums. Oh, wise man of 50 indivisible political entities. The fatal game of time is stronger than all of our pretensions. We shall confront it with our actual living of the death that precedes our death, our mortification. We shall dance on its ropes as it plays its bluegrass notes. Since my heart cannot venture into Gates, Allen, and Bizzou's back streets, I shall only send my requiem sealed with a kiss. He brings the living from the dead. He brings the living from the stinky and decomposing. He brings the living from the stuffed and beat. He brings the living from starving oval mouth. He brings the living from the marrow of those who live on bread alone. And I think this, I've read maybe the same thing. He did not say this, so a mixed thing. So anyways, there is something else there. So thank you. Thank you so much. Sorry? Just yesterday, maybe morning. So yeah. I write quite in a very short period of time, like 10 minutes, and I don't revise. When it comes, it comes. So that's how I write. Yeah.